Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba yesterday confirmed that a commission of inquiry will be established soon to look into South African revenue services following a shortfall of billions of rands in tax revenue. Gigaba announced in the medium-term budget policy statement last month that South Africa faces a staggering revenue shortfall of 50.8 billion rand for the current financial year. Now, the organization undoing tax abuse, OUTA, is calling on the minister to be serious about addressing the performance and revenue shortfalls at SARS by starting with disciplinary action against SARS Commissioner Tom Moyane, as they believe he is central to the breakdown in the performance of the institution. Tonight, we look at the real fiscal issues facing our Minister of Finance and the challenges, of course, at the South African Revenue Services. For the panel discussion, I'm joined by a panel of guests. We've got Lumkile Monde, economics lecturer and senior, or rather economics lecturer at Wits School of Economics and Business Sciences. Lumkile, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Karima, and Trandal, and Mr. Theron from OUTA.
And then, of course, we've also got Ben Theron. He's the chief operating officer at the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, OUTA. Ben, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Karima, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for having us.
All right. And then last but not least, in fact, our most important guest, Dr. Randall Carolison, head of research and revenue at the South African Revenue Services. Dr. Carolison, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening and welcome to the other guests as well.
Now, let me start with you, Dr. Carolison. A lot of SARS workings have been in the public domain. We've seen, for example, the issue of Mr. Jonas Makwankwa and the fact that he's now back at SARS, and the Finance Portfolio Committee in Parliament demanding that the disciplinary process and the report be made public. SARS has said it doesn't want to do that. You have got a deficit of 50 billion. That's a massive, massive hole staring you in the face. Let me first ask, because we've not heard from SARS officially on this matter, do you welcome the intervention of the finance minister by asking President Zuma to appoint this judicial commission of inquiry?
Yes, we actually do welcome this engagement because as a tax administration, we must be seen to be transparent and be fair, and people must have trust in us to be effective. So that's very important for a tax administration, that they continue to enjoy the trust of the taxpaying public, because ultimately that determines compliance and that determines the attitude towards paying taxes. So yes, we welcome that. But I would like to talk to the 50 billion quickly, if you don't mind, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you understand, and I'm trying to at pains to explain this, the forecasting methodology, forecast over the medium term. So in other words, a particular target is set over 3 years. And if the economic circumstances change, and like all other years, you might then revise either upwards or downwards. And that has happened. And I've been doing this for more than 10 years, and I certainly was in charge when we had the big financial crisis. And over the past 10 years, we proved to be very effective with this methodology. And we worked very closely with the Reserve Bank and of course, National Treasury. So this is not a shortfall. This is an adjustment based on the economic outlook. Now, that's not the only factor that impacts on tax collection. And also, I would like to place the 50 billion in context of the 1.2 trillion rand. It's about 4%. And if you look at our growth rates, you compare that with other countries, then we are not doing that badly. So the 50 billion rand is a lot of money. But given the big overall context of money collecting, 1.2 trillion rand, we grow still year on year by 6%. So SARS is not collapsing, and SARS is not yet in any danger of collapsing. So I think the numbers are important that you place it in context, and that you also understand that as things evolve, as the economy starts to manifest itself, that you have to do adjustments. It would be foolish to continue on a path and the economy don't support you. I can talk about the individual taxes and the impact of that, but I think let me just leave it for now at this particular point.
Thank you so much for that context, Dr. Carolison. Lumkile, do you agree with Dr. Carolison?
The shortfall is a result of the forecasting and the difficulties of the economy. I agree. However, we now understand that there's been a huge under-collection at SARS. Mm. Firstly, based on the president not declaring his taxes and the tolling and flogging of negotiation between the former commissioner as well as the team from SARS with the president. But secondly, the ANC itself also being engaged in some activities, as well as those that are mentioned in the tobacco fiasco, as well as the underground. So we now understand as South Africans that, yes, the forecast, as Randall has put them, may explain part of it. But the other part, there's so much that is leaked outside our system, which SARS has been complacent to it. And this is what we want accountability for as South Africans, as taxpayers, as voters. And unfortunately, Randall is silent on it because that's where the leakage is. And I think that's what caused tension between Moyane and the former Minister of Finance. As a result, the minister, the former Minister of Finance was put it out because these questions are now in the public domain, and we need somebody to come forward and explain to South Africans what is really going on in terms of the tax applying to others and others not and others going scot-free and not following the law that our constitutional demands.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ben, let me bring in Arthur. Mr. Dr. Karolison is saying there's nothing wrong with SARS, that the situation must be understood in its context, and that there's nothing wrong with the leadership of Mr. Moyane. I can assume safely that you don't agree with that assessment, correct?
We don't agree at all. We fully concur with Randall when he says tax collection is a very complicated environment. Mm. It's not as simple as what's made out in the media, etc. It's a very complicated matter. And a very serious effort was made to build up the reputation of SARS for the South African taxpayers over many years. And I think it started off when Pravin Gordhan was the commissioner at the time. He became minister. They appointed Opa Magashule, and it was systematic, getting to the hearts of people, making sure people feel not obliged, but actually wanted to contribute to Builders on News Africa. And you'll see the marketing messages over those years were all about speaking to hearts, and your contribution will make a difference to South Africa. Tom Moyane walked in, and within months, that institution was dismantled. It was discredited from the inside. The noise, the stories, and up until today, the stories have not dissipated. The release of the book now confirms a lot of stories that we've seen. Evidence is coming to the fore about what's happening inside. And then we wonder exactly on what basis was the chief officer that was brought back now, I can't remember his
Mr.
name.
Mr. Makwakwa.
Makwakwa. How did they bring him back? And what we're asking for is when this judicial inquiry is set up, this is the simple thing we're asking, is to have that open mandate that can investigate all factors around that and not just the under collection, because then you can put that under collection on the poor economy, the corruption in South Africa, the joblessness, the unemployment. Therefore, people are paying less taxes. And that's a very oversimplification for a very complicated matter. But we believe at the core of our problem right now is the trust that South Africans have started losing towards SARS.
Now, Dr. Karolison, let me bring you in here. Let's start with, there's several issues around why you are facing the situation that you have. Let's start with the trust deficit. We have a situation where we have a book that is out that says that the president was a tax dodger, that several key figures from organized crime and crime syndicates owe SARS, tens of millions of rands, and that you've done very little to deal with these issues. People like Edward Zuma, people like Duduzani Zuma, we know for a fact that the Guptas got preferential treatment. The commissioners on record are saying that. How do you re-establish trust via a commission of inquiry if the person at the head of SARS is actually the person that engenders this lack of trust, and where there's the suspicion that he's there to do the bidding of certain connected individuals?
I don't think we're necessarily at odds. When I opened up my discussion, I said that there are various factors at play in the efficiency of tax administration. Of course, the economy, of course, the trust that people have in the organization, and then, of course, the general mode of compliance. Now, we have seen a slippage in compliance, and we have evidence that people are not very happy with the corruption in the country. And they tell our call centers that we will not pay our taxes because we have that certain people are getting preferential treatment. And we need to deal with those matters because at the end of the day, we need to reestablish trust and people need to make sure that everyone is treated fairly. So compliance has slipped. But firstly, I'll deal with this and then I'll come back to some of the other issues.
Yeah.
Firstly, we're living in a democracy. And so not paying your taxes is actually a criminal offense. And if we collapse the tax administration, then we will actually collapse our democracy. And that will be dire straits for entire South Africa. We collect 90% of all government revenue. Having said that, tax administrations must remain accountable to the taxpayers. And therefore, these questions that the other panelists have asked must be answered. And it must be answered. And I don't think anybody is saying it must not be answered. Because whilst it remains unanswered, the suspicions and things will remain. And it will place us in a very, very bad situation. So I believe this. I agree with the panelists. We need to clear the air around these things. And we need to reestablish our trust and the belief that people have in our organization. That's extremely important, in fact. But coming back to the efficiency of SARS, that's the other factor that we have to deal with. You know, like I said, at the moment, SARS is not as close to collapse as many people make it out to be, and we must be careful that we don't create a narrative that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because the more that narrative takes hold, the more people will begin to add fire to it, and in the end, the institution will begin to go backwards, and people will then have a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'm saying we don't want special treatment, but there must be a recognition also for the hard work that SARS and many of its employees are doing.
I think Dr. Carolison, we have to be fair. And I think the point that you're making is a fair point, that we must be driven by the facts when we assess SARS. Mm-hmm. We must be driven by the context, and we must, you know, reward and acknowledge good work in where it is done. So I don't think that is at issue. But let's go to the facts. So the facts of the matter is that we have Mr. Jonas, who is, of course, Mr. Makwakwa, who is at the center of an investigation where he, in fact, was flagged by the Finance Intelligence Center that 75, I think, payments, irregular payments were made into his account. He went through a process. He was suspended. He's suddenly back. And SARS had to be told by Parliament's Finance Committee in writing that they demand to see the report that has resulted in this man being cleared. How do you go about creating confidence when the processes in SARS point to the fact that incompetence is in fact being covered up and people are in fact not being dealt with? You have someone like Mr. Makwakwa back at his job.
Well, look, I haven't seen the report myself. So what I'm saying to you is allow this process to take its course. And I think the facts will emerge and establish themselves. And if people have a case to answer for, they must answer for that. I'm not pleading for any special treatment for anybody. And I'm certainly not in a position to do that either. But I think allow the process to take its course. Because, you know, the worst is to prematurely begin to accuse people of being doing things. So let all the process take its course and let the people account for what is out in the public domain.
Let's
for special treatment.
No, I understand that. Let's get some clarity. What are the terms of reference? Does SARS have an idea? Can you shed more light on what the terms of references are for this commission? And more importantly, also, when is it going to head off? Because a commission of inquiry isn't necessarily the surest route to the truth or to clarity or to efficiency. We've seen that with the Farlam Commission. We've seen that with the Seriti Commission. So whilst you can beg that we be magnanimous and allow processes to happen, it can also be an attempt to kick things, to touch and to stall other investigations that could actually get to the root of the matter. For example, criminal investigations and, of course, also parliamentary probes.
So when I left the office this afternoon and I flew to Cape Town, we haven't yet received any terms of reference. And I think as soon as that is made available, it will be made public. But I think we can agree amongst ourselves that the quicker these things are lifted and ventilated, the better we can be allowed to get back to our work and restore the morale and get on with our job. I think that we all agree to. We all are in desperate need of the truth to be ventilated so that we can get on with our lives. I don't think anyone at SARS would want to continue to work under this cloud that we are at the moment.
Lumkile, is this commission of inquiry an exercise in kicking the matter to touch, or is it an attempt to genuinely get to the root of the matter, or will that only become clear once we see who the judge is and what the terms of references are?
Well, Karima, let me put it this way. Firstly, that, you know, we do have a tax commission going on at the moment, led by Judge Davis, who have been working very, very hard. Because what we're trying to do is really try to strengthen the fiscals, given the fact that, you know, about 30 million of South Africans live in poverty. So there's really a huge drive, I think, through the committee, through the commission, but a number of us who really want redress, who believe that this country is so rich that we have to do something for redress. So that's one issue. So all of a sudden, in the process of this, as well as the politics within SARS that we've just been talking about, the fact that the minister is engaged is in that tax commission around what this thing is about, this commission of inquiry, raises a lot of questions. And there is a track record, there is a pattern that we've seen coming from President Zuma. Firstly, that where there's been wrongdoing and the Guptas and those linked to the president have benefited, the minister in charge of that particular department gets thrown under the bus. For example, we have the Minister of Water and Sanitation, Ms. Nomvula Mokonyane. There is SIU that's chasing to investigate why did the budget suddenly disappear. There's Mr. Blaine Zimande, who has been kicked out, and there's an investigation going on around the CETAs. We think that with this process, those of us who are skeptical, given the record of the president, we think that this is a process really of, it's a sham process whereby really Moyane is being sacrificed because now we've become cleverer with Jack's poll book, that there's so much that's gone on. So I think that this could be a sham process. But, you know, it's too early for me to say until we see the terms of reference. But the skeptic at the moment, my skepticism is that this might be a process of getting rid of Mr. Moyane because he served his purpose, as we've read in the book by Jack Poole.
Ben, are you thinking that the Commission of Inquiry is a good idea, or is it, is there a caveat? Do we first have to see who the judge is? Do we first have to see the terms of reference? And more importantly, do we collapse all that we need to find out about SARS into this Commission of Inquiry? Isn't there, on the basis of what is already ventilated in the public, a basis to remove Mr. Moyane and to begin, at the very least, a criminal proceedings against some of the individuals?
To start off with, the terms of reference will be absolutely important because it could be as narrow as just finding out why are we under collecting the 50 billion. And I think Randall has just given all those answers. So we do not need a commission of inquiry, a judicial commission of inquiry to do that. I just want to respond to two things that Randall spoke about. Number one, Makwakwa's handled the internal process. Under what conditions do you do a criminal act and get accused of criminal activity, and then it's handled internally with the organization? That's totally unacceptable. That ought to have gone through the NPA process where investigations get done, because it was illegal, the accusations are made that it was illegal transaction, cash being paid into ATMs, etc. That need to be done by our institution set up for that and not an internal inquiry. So we believe that internal inquiry is purely a whitewash. So that's number one. The second point I just wanted to talk to is that when he spoke about a tax revolt, and we didn't use those names, words, but those are there, you will find that our taste are right at the forefront, stopping. And remember that we are fighting for people's rights in terms of tax abuse and abuse of authority. And people are contacting us daily to ask us, do the tax revolt. And you will notice that our public utterances, our communications, everything says, once you're on that road, it is almost impossible. It's not impossible. It's almost impossible to recover from that. Because calculations show that within 4 days, this country will come to a standstill. And after that, we just go downhill, and we will never be able to come out of that that deep hole that we're in. So Outer is on the forefront every day saying the tax revolt is not the answer for Africa. We need to fix our institutions. And SARS is one of those critical, critical institutions that should be protected with everything we have available. But believe me, it's been hollowed out and the shadow shelf of what it used to be.
Now, Randall, we're not going to argue about the impact of a tax revolt. I think we're all very clear about what that is going to come to. Let's talk about the fact that Mr. Makwakwa's matter was being dealt with internally, almost in an attempt to circumvent what ought to have been a legal and criminally a process that needed to go through the criminal justice system. So, for example, through police, through the NPA. Why did you guys, circumvent that and institute an internal process and in many ways shield the person from the criminal justice system where the matter ought to be ventilated?
Well, look, I'm not going to duck and dive on this one. My understanding is that there had to be an internal inquiry, and that all other matters are actually placed in the correct judicial channels to deal with that. And I can't exactly say what it is, but I understand that there are external processes to SARS that are underway to get to the bottom of this.
When you say external processes, Dr. Karolis, and just for our clarity, and I must say I am abusing you because you are here, because we've been trying for days to get a hold of SARS and we couldn't. So I want to ask you all the questions.
Yeah.
What are those external processes? Is this matter going to go to the NPA for their consideration to profit charges against Mr. Makwakwa?
Well, look, first of all, I think the parliamentary SCOF committee has asked for the records, all the records.
Are you going to comply? Are you handing the records over?
I can't speak on behalf of the commission, but I can't see us not complying. It's a very, very firm request from SCOF. I can't see us not complying. So that has to be done. And like I said, the quicker these things get cleared in the public domain, the better for all of us. I speaking from my personal perspective, I don't see any whitewash. I don't see any anxiety about getting to the bottom of all of these things. And if people have heard or if they've misbehaved, then they must answer for that. And the quicker we get to this, the quicker we can get back to do our job that we are paid to do.
Now, of course, the Commission of Inquiry, a whole lot of stuff still outstanding. People haven't yet given it their thumbs up because we don't know what the terms of references are.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that doesn't get you to addressing that shortfall. What needs to happen there?
Okay, so let's again come back to the short, shall we call it the adjustment? I don't want to call it the shortfall.
It's 50 billion rand that we don't have.
That we don't have, but it's the economy that don't perform also. But anyway, let me talk about that. So one of the things that I didn't speak to earlier was the tax scams and the efficiency of the taxpayers to avoid taxes have become more and more sophisticated over the years. So SARS is one of the leading signatories to many international protocols, and we are actually getting now very, very interesting data from all over the world that we are able to map wealth, offshore wealth, to South Africans. So that is certainly going to provide us with some latitude to close or to
are you going to start with the Guptas?
You know, I can't talk about individual taxpayers, but anyway, so there's lots of offshore wealth that people
Bank of Baroda, all of, investigations that are now being conducted by the FBI and others.
So that's one avenue. That's one way of clawing back. The other way of clawing back, yes, even in South Africa, we have people that are under-declaring. So they, in other words, they earn nearly 100,000 rand, but they own lots of homes and very fancy cars. And our systems and our data analytics are starting to pick these people up, and they're beginning to come forward.
Like the former acting commissioner for the police, Khomotso Mapatlane.
I think you're very mischievous, but anyway, I'll leave you there. So we are closing many of these tax gaps, but as we close them, the taxpayers are also becoming more sophisticated.
Mm.
What we do find, and I must admit this because Judge Dennis Davis also referred to it this morning, is that this underlying unhappiness that's currently prevailing in the country are actually to some extent stymieing some of the effort that we have. Because some people actually tell, their bankers and so they want to regularize the tax affairs, but they are very unhappy the way the money is spent in South Africa and the degree of corruption. So all in all, I think for us to be placed back on a sustainable path, we need to very decisively deal with issues of corruption that make people unhappy. We need to have a covenant with all the role players, with business, because business are not investing, or while they're not investing, we don't create jobs, we don't get the returns on our investments. We must have a covenant to get this economy growth, because we can't save ourselves out of a low economic growth trap.
Absolutely. Dr. Karolis, I'm so sorry. I have to cut you short. We're running out of time. We've got to go to another guest. Thank you so much for coming on. And of course, also to my panel, Lumkile Mondi and Ben Teron. Thank you so much.